How do you handle tragedy? How do you handle the worst possible trials in your life? How do you handle the worst hurts in your life? How do you handle those things, the worst that life has to offer? How do you handle the worst captivities, the worst bondages that you may feel like you can't break free from, the worst addictions? How do you handle those things? How do you handle things like Saran Stacy, the star Alabama football running back that years ago lost his wife and five children all at once? How do you handle those things? How do you handle something that Mike and Rebecca Ellis went through maybe a year ago or so when they found their son just before school and that he had taken his own life? How do you handle these things? What do you do when it rains? Well, when it rains, don't worry, He reigns. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 29. Let's look at verses 10 through 14. Jeremiah 29. And if you're new at this, this is open your Bible right in the middle, and you'll just about be there. If you're seeing Psalms, just turn to the right a little bit, a few more books. You'll see Isaiah, and then right past Isaiah, Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 10 to 14. In this letter that was written, hear what God says to you. This is what the Lord says: when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Sometimes it rains. Sometimes it rains. Here for God's people, for the nation of Judah, it was raining. They hadn't listened to the Lord. They hadn't obeyed Him. In verse 10, we see that now it's going to rain for the next 70 years. They had been exiled, been captured by the enemy for the next 70 years. And so we see their rain in verse 10. This is what the Lord says: when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you. And he goes on from there. But they're going to be 70 years in captivity and in exile. Now we find, when you flip back a few chapters into Jeremiah chapter 25, we find out that for 23 years, God had been speaking to them and saying, don't provoke me to anger, sending the prophet Jeremiah and sending other prophets saying, don't provoke me to anger, don't worship other gods, don't go after other gods. And for 23 years, God was sending this message to them very patiently, but we find out that they would not listen to God. They wouldn't listen. And so He exiled them. He sent the enemy to come, King Nebuchadnezzar, to come and to take them to Babylon, take them away from their nation, away from their country, and they would live in captivity for the next 70 years. Sometimes we don't listen to God. Sometimes God is telling us something over and over. Maybe He's been telling us for years, and sometimes we don't listen. And sometimes we have to be in exile. Sometimes He sends us into exile. Sometimes we're in captivity because we will not listen. But then sometimes we find ourselves in trials and captivity and things like that. And sometimes it rains simply because we live in a fallen world. And sometimes it's not something that we did, but we experience the rain. Like Job, about the most righteous man on the earth at that time. He experienced a whole lot of rain, a lot of tragedy in his life. Sometimes it's because we're in a fallen world. Like in John chapter 9, when Jesus and his disciples came across a man that had been born blind, and the disciples, the question asked was, how'd the man get this rain? Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind like this, Jesus? And Jesus said, neither. He didn't sin, neither him nor his parents, but he was born like this so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. So sometimes it's not something that we've done. Sometimes it rains. You know, our church has experienced some rain here in the last little while. 3 months ago today, if you came here and you worshiped with us, you would see Martha Adams sitting right here, and you'd see sweet Janet Clayton sitting right here, and Richard be running around the church everywhere. Not a thing wrong with him. But Martha's, I saw her weeding in her garden, and not long after that, she had lung cancer, and she just went to be with her Lord. And sweet Janet, who we love, just went to be with her Lord, and we'll miss them. It's rain to us, but it's glory for them. They're happier than they've ever been before. And we're praying for Richard right now, dealing with that cancer. Sometimes it rains. Sometimes it's a financial rain. Sometimes the bills come in, you don't know what you're going to do. Sometimes you find out your son has to have braces, or you find out you come home and the air conditioner is not working and the house is hot. Sometimes your car is hot and the AC is not working. Sometimes it rains. My wife's grandmother, we call her Meemaw. Just last Thanksgiving, we were all having a great time together eating Thanksgiving dinner. And just a short while after that, Meemaw had a brain bleed and she went home to be with her Lord. Sometimes it rains. I've got a friend in Atlanta that I went to seminary with, and he was ministering at a big church, and I heard the call one day. This is a number of years ago, and he had a breakdown, and I went to go see him hospital there, and just since that time, all the way through up until now, it's been quite a few years, and his marriage is about to dissolve, and everything was great in seminary, we thought. Sometimes it rains. 10 years ago today, I was at Shakespeare Park, and there's a guy named Bruce that rides the lawnmowers around there, and I saw him stop, and one of us had headphones on, I can't remember, took off our headphones, and he said, "Man," he said, "something's happened." He said, "A plane just crashed into the World Trade Center." I said, "What?" I thought maybe, I thought he probably heard something wrong. That's crazy. That's ridiculous. But sure enough, I got into the office at the church and had TVs going everywhere in the church, saw the towers come down. You probably remember where you were when it happened. Sometimes it rains. And right here for God's people, after 23 years of not listening to the Lord, you can read about it yourself. We don't have time right now, but you can read about it yourself in Jeremiah 25, verses 7 through 11. I encourage you to read there, and you'll see why they were about to go through this 70 years of exile. Is it raining in your life right now? Is it raining in your life this morning? Well, take courage. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 16. It was about to rain in the disciples' life. It was about to rain in Jesus' life. He knew where he was headed. He was about to go to the cross, and he was preparing his disciples. And he said, I tell you the truth, in me you will have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. You see, he's the place of peace. And he encouraged his disciples with that. You be encouraged with that. I don't know your rain this morning. I don't know what clouds are looming over you. But hear what Jesus says to you this morning. In me there's peace. I've overcome the world. You'll have trouble in the world, but I've overcome it. Just you rest in me. You trust in me. Sometimes it rains. But God's plan is always good. Sometimes it rains, but God's plan is always good. Yes, it was going to rain for them, but look at verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. God's plans are always good. You might be saying, but it doesn't seem good. It doesn't seem good to me. I don't understand this. This doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't seem good. But you see, we can't understand the mind of God. We can't understand His ways. Listen to what God tells us in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. This would be great for you to commit to memory. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's ways are so much higher than ours. Yes, you might not understand your reign. Sometimes we don't understand. I know if my youngest child wanted Oreo cookies for dinner every night. And he said, Dad, I love Oreos. They are so good. Could I just have them from now on every night for dinner? Just Oreos. Just let's drop off all these vegetables and things like that. That's no reason for all that. Oreos will do me fine. Well, I love him. And I would say, no, son. We're going to have vegetables and you can have a couple Oreos every now and then. And you see, he might not understand that. He might say, What is up with Dad? That is just crazy. I don't see anything bad happening to my body. I could eat 20 of them right now and see anything going wrong. What's wrong with me eating Oreos? Dad, want me to eat all these vegetables? I don't like vegetables. He might not understand that, but I love him. And I'm going to do what's best for him. You might not understand, but God wants the best for you. He wants you to have His best, whether you understand it or not. You see, God, as the song says, God is too good to be unkind. He's too wise to be mistaken. And so when you don't understand and you can't trace His plan, trust His heart. That song has gotten me through a lot. Through tragedies. Just think about that. When you don't understand your trials, your tragedies, when you don't understand your personal 9/11, just trust His heart. Know that He loves you and He wants the best for you. And that's what He's doing. Whether you understand it or not. Just like my son with the Oreos. Just say, God, I trust you. Thank you. As hard as it is for me to say it for this trial, just thank you because I know you love me. I trust your heart. We see it come to life in Romans 8:28. I just heard Joni Erickson Tata on the radio the other day mentioning this verse, and she had a tragic accident. She was healthy as anything, athlete, had a tragic accident. She's in a wheelchair now and lives that way. And she was proclaiming this verse, Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and have been called according to His purpose. You might not understand, but trust His heart. Trust His heart. Whatever your rain is, know that God's plan is always good. You know, you'll hear that tonight. You'll hear that tonight. If you come at 5 o'clock, we'll talk about it more later. But if you come at 5 o'clock, we're gonna have a brief time here together, and then we're gonna go over to First Baptist to team night. We're gonna hear from Saran Stacy about losing his wife and his 5 children. We're gonna hear from Mike and Rebecca Ellis. We're gonna hear about them when their son took his life. And you'll hear it tonight. You'll hear it. That God's plan, God is always good. Sometimes it rains, but God's plan is always good. And finally, so seek Him with all your heart. So seek Him with all your heart. We see this in verse 12. Through 14. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. So seek him with all your heart. He says, call on me. Call on me, he says, and I will come to you. I will listen to you. You know, when you speak, God gives you his full attention. The moment you utter a prayer, even in your mind, Lord Jesus, it's like he's just looking right at you. Yeah? Just giving you 100% full attention. When you call on him, he listens to you. But you say, but my prayers aren't being answered. I feel like when I pray, it's just hitting the ceiling. Nothing's happening. I feel like I can't reach God with my prayers. Maybe you feel like you're not getting through. Well, first of all, you need to ask the question, do I know him yet? Do I truly know him? Do I know him? Have I realized that I'm a sinner? Have I admitted my sin? And then have I realized that he's my Savior? Have I realized my death penalty is hell and separation from God? And then have I realized that he already took my punishment? He died on the cross and he's raised from the dead. And then finally, have I believed all that and then called on him personally and said, Lord Jesus, save me. Come into my life. I'm a sinner. I give you my life. Because, you see, that begins the relationship. That's when we become born again, as Jesus said in John 3:3. That's when he comes to live on the inside of us. And that's when we have that one-on-one just fellowship with him. Continuous fellowship. And so if you just feel like your prayers aren't being heard, look at the relationship first. Do you know you have a relationship with Jesus? Do you know that you know that you know that you have a personal relationship with Jesus? If not, start there. That's the prayer he's waiting to hear. That's the most important prayer. He said, seek me and find me. He said, when you seek me with all of your heart, seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. You know what it is to seek something. We were just in Atlanta this past weekend, and I came back right after we had worship here. I left and went straight back to Atlanta. And my family was there. And what did I do that night with the kids? We played hide and seek. Me and Anna and Christian and Bryce and Calder. John Allen didn't play. He was doing something else. But me and Anna and Christian and Bryce and Calder, the cousins, we just were all over that house, hiding in all these places. And that last time, the kids will tell you, I hid good. I hid good. I was right next to the shower, kind of in this closet. And they searched. Man, I got tired sitting there. They searched and searched. They finally just about gave up, probably 30 minutes later. But you see, in that hide and seek, they were searching for me with all their hearts. But eventually, they never found me. I had to come walking out and say, hello, guys. What's going on? Where'd you hide? Where'd you hide? Let us see that place. Well, let me tell you, it's not like that with God. It's not like that at all with God. You don't seek him and seek and you just can't find him. No, what did he say? It's the opposite with him. He said, seek me and find me. You will find me. He said, seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. God will be found. If you seek him, he'll be found by you. We saw that in verse 14. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. In Proverbs 8, 17 and 19, I just discovered this the other day. How easy it is to seek God, seek His will, seek His wisdom. Proverbs 8, verses 17 to 19. Wisdom is personified. They're talking about wisdom like wisdom is a person. Well, what is wisdom? That's just God's will. God's way, what God desires. His will, what He wants. And it says, here's what wisdom says. I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. With me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. My fruit is better than fine gold, and I yield, and what I yield surpasses choice silver. But did you notice that in verse 17? I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. If you seek wisdom, if you seek God's will, His wisdom, if you seek God, you will find Him. Those who seek me find me. It's that simple. You just turn to Him. It's as simple as acknowledging Him. You need to know what to do, and you just simply acknowledge Him. Instead of trying to figure it all out yourself and do it yourself, you simply go to Him and you say, Lord, I don't know what to do. What do I do? You've just sought Him. You're seeking Him. You're acknowledging Him. You're doing Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll make your path straight. The moment you acknowledge Him, you're seeking Him, you will have wisdom. He'll give it to you. You can take it to the bank. You'll have it. He gives wisdom. He will be found by you as you search for Him. But many places in the Scripture, in Proverbs, it says search for Him like hidden treasure. It says search for wisdom like hidden treasure. Look for it. Be diligent to seek Him. And notice it said, when you seek me with all of your heart. And so seek Him with all that you are. Search for Him. Live seeking wisdom. And then that's when you see God work. You live seeking wisdom. You see God work. Long story short, there in Atlanta, I was seeking wisdom. Just said, God, what do I do? Just moment by moment, kind of walking with the Lord. And I had a little candy bag with me. It's got these little orange creams in it. Well, that's a mint, but I've got some in my pocket. Ask me after church. But each of them has a scripture on it, these little orange cream candies. And I was going to be with the kids. We had everything packed up, and we were just waiting for the sheets to finish drying so we could all leave. And I was in my car, and I was going to just leave that candy bag in there. But you see, I was living seeking wisdom. Seeking God, what is your will, God? And I was kind of in that state, and I just felt like the Lord wanted me to take that candy bag with me and, you know, offer it to the kids. So I did. You know what happened? Went out on the back porch and said, any of y'all want an orange cream? And Bryce, sweet little cousin, year younger than Anna, about 8 years old, and she said, I want one. And I gave her one. I said, now there's a scripture on there. Read that scripture. And so we looked at it together, and it said, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all the kids heard that, and I said, oh, I said, well, that's not good news. That's not a good one. But bam. And you know, it didn't feel like the right time to share the gospel. I mean, the kids just want to play. They don't want to, they'd probably be like, Dad, don't go preaching again. What are you doing? We want to play here, Dad. You know, it didn't seem like the right time, but I was trying to follow wisdom, and you know, I felt like God was saying, hey, share, you know, share. Here's an opportunity. And so I did. I started sharing, thinking the kids may be like, Dad, we need to play. But you know what? Bryce gave her heart to Christ. Anna prayed with her, me, and she said, Bryce said, and we had shared the gospel with her, and she said, I am not going to remember all that. She said, what am I going to do? And she said something like, well, I need to pray about it. And I said, well, yeah, you just pray about it. And she said, well, I need to pray about it right now because I'm not going to remember all this. And we said, well, let's pray. And I said, Bryce, do you want to pray just me, you, and Anna? Or you want all the kids to hold hands? No, let's all hold hands. We all need to pray about this. So we prayed. And Bryce gave her heart to Christ. We need to live in wisdom, live following wisdom. That's how we see God work. But then he said, seek in Matthew 6:33, it says, "Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you as well." Seeking Him first. Seek His kingdom, and He'll add everything else. Are you seeking Him? Are you seeking His wisdom? And then one other thing that we notice, He said that at this time, as you seek Me, I'll answer you. You'll find Me. And then He said, I'll bring you back from captivity. I'll bring you back from exile. Wow. When I was working on this message, I was out at Shakespeare. I was working on this message, and this guy jogged by me, and he goes, "Oh," he said, "you're reading the world's bestseller right there." And he went on jogging by. He came back a little bit later, and he said, "Understandeth what you readeth?" And I said, yeah. And he said, "You know where that's from?" I said, "Oh, yeah, the Ethiopian eunuch." So we got to talking, this guy, and he opened up to me, and he shared that Jesus had totally, his hat said Jesus. He said Jesus had totally changed his life. He said he had been through N.A., but he discovered Jesus Christ as his higher power. And he said that Jesus has totally changed his life. And he said now he's been set free. He had this burden. He had these captivities. He was in exile to all these things. And now he was free. And he was telling me about this program that he goes through at this DreamWorks church or something. And he said it's called Life Skills. And Jesus Christ is the higher power. And I said, "Hey, I used to play the drums at Celebrate Recovery." I said, "It's another ministry." He said, "Oh, yeah, I know." And found out he knew the lead singer in the band I was in, Don't Smoke Anything. I was the drummer, and he knew the lead singer. And I said, "Hey, it's the same thing. Jesus Christ is the higher power. There's 12 biblical steps, and He'll set you free." He sets people free from their captivities, from their bondages. What about you? What are you held captive to? Is there anything? Do you have any kind of bondages in your life? Any kind of captivities? Are you in exile anywhere? Jesus Christ will set you free. Seek Him. Seek Him with all your heart. Call to Him. He'll answer you and He'll set you free. He'll set you free from every, I like the way Celebrate Recovery puts it, every hurt, the past hurts you've experienced, every hurt, every habit, no matter what it is. Doesn't have to be the ones you always think about. Maybe it's food. Maybe it's something with food. Maybe it's something else. Your hang-ups, your little quirks, whatever it is, He'll set you free. And so, remember, when it rains, don't worry, He reigns. Sometimes it rains, but God's plan is always good. So seek Him with all your heart, and then you'll find Him, and you'll be free. You'll be free. Maybe you're here this morning and when I said the part about, are you getting through? And you thought, no, I don't feel like my prayers are being answered. Maybe that has hit home with you. Maybe your greatest need is not the prayer request you've been praying so diligently. Maybe your greatest need is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and not religion. Maybe you just need Jesus. Maybe that's the prayer you need to pray. You just need to call out to Him and give Him your heart. Maybe you're here this morning and you've realized you need to stop trying to do it alone. You're trying to do all these things alone in your life. You're trying to manage life alone, and God didn't make you that way. He made you to be in a body of believers like this, and maybe your greatest need is He wants you to join this church this morning. Maybe it's to trust in God's plan. Maybe you've never reconciled your tragedy. You've never linked it with God. Maybe your need this morning is to trust in God's plan. To just say, "I trust You, God. I trust Your heart, whatever I'm going through." And maybe your greatest need this morning is to be set free. Maybe there's some captivity. Maybe there's some addiction. Maybe your need is to be set free from something. I don't know what it is. But we're going to pray. And Chris is going to come, and he's going to lead us in an invitation hymn. And you can come and you can pray up here at the altar during that hymn if you need to. Or if you need to make one of those decisions, just step out of your seat and just come walk down and share that with me. And or if you need somebody to pray with you, you can come down and we'll pray with you here. Whatever decision you need to make, you do that as Chris leads us in this invitation hymn. Let's pray and then you come. Father, we thank You for speaking to us this morning. And Lord, I don't know what you've said to anybody, but Lord, they know. Lord, each person knows, Lord. Lord, whatever you have told each person here, Lord, help them. Give them the strength, the courage, Lord, to make the best decision ever and to just step out and just to follow you, to do whatever you tell them to. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.